This program is paid for by Caskey Group Communications.
Welcome to Small Business Sunday. Your host, Gary Sutton, talks with local entrepreneurs who share their stories of success.
Good morning and welcome to Small Business Sunday. I'm Gary Sutton, and this is our time. We talk with local entrepreneurs who share their stories of success. With us this morning is Tony Reif, who is the president of Caskey Group Communications. You can see them at caskeygroup.com. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you in, and I often have gone by your place, and I've wondered what they do. And so this morning, I was so thrilled to have a chance to talk to you about exactly what the Caskey Group does on the day before Memorial Day. But more importantly, your group is out there in communications. And, you know, so many people overuse the word communications, but yours covers a wide variety of things. But I guess before we even get to that, how did you get into Caskey Communications?
Yeah. Well, I actually joined Caskey Printing back in 1996, and a gentleman named Greg Caskey owned the company. And I came there as a sales rep. And so I started in sales, and pretty much back then we only had about 10 employees. And so we started as a very small company, and over the years we just continued to grow and work our way into what all we do today. And so I kind of went from sales to a sales manager position and watched the company grow up over those years. And basically in 2011, Greg Caskey decided that he had enough and he wanted to step aside. So that's how I got into the position I am today. And so I was very fortunate to have a guy that I was able to learn and grow with. And he's almost like a father figure to me in a lot of ways. So it was one of those things that, you know, and just had a great opportunity and just really did well and ended up in the position I am today.
But you're kind of the old-time definition of a guy who came in and started on the bottom rung, worked his way up, saw how it was going the whole way along, saw how the company was changing.
That's right.
And morphing into something else. Talk about what you thought about small business during that time, if you were consciously aware of small business and what it meant.
Yeah, at that time, I don't think I had the full appreciation of what it took to keep the company growing and prospering and what it took Greg to the challenges he took in life with everything that he had to do to make sure we had the equipment available and making sure we had the latest and greatest technology to succeed. So I at the time I concentrated on nothing but sales.
Right.
So sales was everything to me, and that's what I did.
Here's what I got to sell. I'm bringing it out
that's
to you, right?
Right? Yeah. Yep.
When you talk about how this company has changed over the years here in the York area and started out as a certain definition of communications and now the definition of communications, how has that changed?
Right. Well, in our case, there's no secret. I mean, there's a lot more printing being done in-house today. There's, you know, look at the printers you have in your own home, you know. So our business model has changed. And I knew back in 2011 when I took over Caskey Printing, made it the Caskey Group, I knew I had to make some changes. And so today, for example, 60% of what we do is still true printing. I mean, we still we do a lot of direct mail, probably mail on average about 1 million pieces of mail a month today. You know, so printing is our backbone. But the other 40% of the business has changed, and it's one of those things that it's grown into anything from indoor-outdoor signage to promotions. We do a lot of websites today, 54 different websites we're involved in. And it's one of those things that we had to have people in each one of these departments to succeed. And I surrounded myself with a lot of great people. And today, the communications world, print is still a very valuable resource as far as communications go. And it's one of those things that we've just taken it and just took it in different arenas. And that's what allowed us to continue to be successful today in communications.
How did you know how to add the different arenas? Like for one example, I saw you do like wall murals.
Yeah.
You know, people don't think about that. And yet at the same time, that's a part of your business. And so you try to get as wide a range of things that you can cover and make sure that you are an expert in each of those generally six areas that you have on your website, right?
That's right. Yeah. It was like one step at a time. That's the best way to describe it. I mean, I don't think I had all the answers right off the get-go. I mean, it was one of those things. We hired a marketing director, and that marketing director kind of helped us with with getting our email blast right, getting our website content right, making sure that we had, you know, that side of the business right. Then along came a situation where we bought a company called Martin Design out of Hanover. Jason Martin was a guy who was really well diversed in indoor-outdoor signage and vehicle wraps and indoor and outdoor murals and trade show booths, that kind of thing. So his expertise kind of brought, you know, we brought him in and he helped us to grow that side of the business. And each, we got another guy named Swyler Delp, who is our integrations guy. And he was very talented and gifted with internet services. So, I mean, it's been kind of a progression. We just, you know, it's been 6 years now, and each year we continue to grow and continue to bring this company to what it is today.
We're talking with Tony Reif this morning of Caskey Group. Communications and communicating in so many different ways. So you have someone who comes to you, a client, prospective client, and they say to you, "Hey, Tony, you know, here's what my business is. Here's what I want done. How do I brand this the right way? How do I get creative here?" And that's where you guys kind of step in as one of the branches of what you do, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's a group effort today. You know, I don't think any of us have all the answers. And the more we can team up with clients, and I always say to the salespeople today, it's not about us any longer. It's about them. It's about the client, making sure that they have everything that they need to succeed. And I think as a partner, that's what allows us, you know, to be able to be successful is when our clients are successful. And so we do a lot of group meetings. We sit down, we try to, especially at the end of the year, we try to focus on what's next for that upcoming year and what that client's looking for, the budgets that they have available, and trying to make sure that we can just really help them with all their communications and get the most bang that they possibly can for the dollars they have available.
You talk about the changing kind of communications over the years. I know in June and July you've got some upcoming webinars. We're going to talk about them later on as well. But, you know, a webinar for a lot of people out there today who say, "What the heck is a webinar?" Tell people a little bit about that too.
So the webinars just really get your mind thinking, you know, and give you an example. In the upcoming webinars, we have two different webinars available, but what we do is we sit down and we show some of the clients that we worked with and how it's helped them. And you accomplish as much as you can in 1 hour. And we show some different demos and that kind of things. And the idea behind it is just really to think about your own communications and think about the challenges you're facing, the struggles that you have, and how can you bring all that together online and have a personalized storefront for you. So that's how we use it right now.
When you look at the communications you have that right now, and I'm looking at promotional products, custom apparel, you've got all those kind of things, event promotion, new neighbor programs. What are those all about?
Yeah. So imagine, you know, you have an apparel program and you know, you want to make sure the brand is consistent, you know, and what happens a lot of times, what we see is a company will come in, they'll order shirts, and then and 6 months later, they'll order hats. And then it's 6 months later, it's something else. And there's no brand or no consistency. So what we do is we actually set up a apparel website that's part of your company. And that's been very successful from the school side. A lot of schools come in and they'll set up, okay, these are the items that we want to be able to brand for our schools. The parents can order for the children and for the students. And
maybe this is the same kind of logo the whole way through.
That's right.
To kind of get a common thread.
Yeah. And the employee incentive program, it's very interesting to see how the employee incentive program is working, because many companies today, large construction outfits, for example, can come in and they say, you know what, we're gonna award our program or our employees based upon the things that they've done, making sure they're on time for work, making sure that they, you know, all the incentives that they have and all the good things that an employee can do. So employees will be able to go on a storefront and order from the dollars that they have available that the company put out for them.
Okay.
So those incentive programs, we have two of those right now going, and it's just been really great. I mean, it's been one of those things that from the company side, being able to set it up, working with the human resource departments, making sure the points-based programs can be set up, and it every week it actually takes care of making sure that it updates itself from the human resource side.
How do you award the points? I'm interested in that. How does this go down?
Each one's different. I mean, so, you know, what we do is we came up with a points-based system that we put out there. But what we're finding is each company wants to operate differently. What's interesting is we've been able to tag into some of the operating systems that each company has. And sometimes a company will look and say, you know what, we have $50,000 to spend this year for our employees and for our apparel programs, that kind of stuff. And we will base those points based on the amount of employees they have, right, based on the amount of hours that are available, and that's how we come up with it. So each one is different.
Let me ask you, from a small business owner now, a mm-hmm. president.
Right.
When you look at your small business and you say, okay, what's my job? I would assume that probably you're kind of the guy on the rudder. You're making sure that the ship is always going the same direction, but that's got to be interesting with all the various departments you had. And you said you have people who are very good specialists in each of those departments. How hard is it to keep all those specialists on the same rudder all the time?
Yeah, Gary, it's not easy. I mean, I do the very best I can. We're still a pretty small company when you look at it overall. But, I mean, we have 40 employees today. And I try to step away and allow our managers to manage. You know? And I'm there for them if they need me. I'm just not made to go out and just get involved in every situation that there is. I still carry over $2 million in sales myself, so I still involved very heavily in sales, and I didn't give that side of the business up because I feel like that's one of my strengths.
Well, by the way, hats off to you, because so many times people get to that position of being president and say, oh, now I can let them go. And you stayed involved, and right. I think that it, by example, that's, I mean, right, you're probably one of the best salesmen out there, if not the best. I don't know your company that well, but that hats off to you. I think that's something that's really important.
Yeah, I do too, because I feel like I want to be in the trenches, and I want to continue to learn and grow from what is happening, and it's one of those things that's changed. You know, the business today is not the same way it was 20 years ago, and every business we deal with is seeing the same type of thing. So I want to stay on that side of it as much as I possibly can, as long as I can. But the challenges I face is I still got to be able to look out there 5 years from now and try to figure out what's going to continue our strengths and growth and that kind of thing. So spend a fair amount of time with a peer group. We have six different other companies throughout the country that we meet quarterly with. And we spin and learn and grow from each other. And then attend a lot of trade shows still and just look at, you know, what's coming and what's ahead of us. I stay very busy. You know, I stay very busy throughout, you know, the time that I have available and very involved in what's going on. And so, you know, I try to manage the best I possibly can. You know, I have a sales meeting once a month. I have a management meeting once a month. I try to make sure that I'm there when I'm needed.
Sounds like you put a lot of trust, though. Once you get your employees in there, here's what you're doing. Do you understand the vision?
That's right.
And to me, that's always when I listen to people in small business. Do you understand my vision? Do you understand where we're going right now as a company, and maybe my particular vision as the president of that company? That's the part that I think is maybe hard sometimes for people to stick with you if they don't understand what that vision looks like, right?
That's right. I've only worked for two companies in my life, so it's one of those things, you know, you kind of learn by the way, you know, from being in it. But I feel it's very important for me to treat people the way I'd want to be treated. And I think it's one of those things that the model that I feel that we need is being able to trust, you know, trust our employees and trust who they are. And I think they truly do. They have bought in and they believe in the company, you know, so it's a group effort. There's no doubt.
What has the internet done to the communications? I mean, obviously it's changed it all across the world. And I imagine in yours, maybe more so than just about any place else.
Yeah. I think the internet, to say it hasn't affected the printing business would truly be a lie, because it has. And it's one of those things that, the thing that I think people realize now, and now that you can go online and you can go to Vistaprint and you can buy your business cards for $10 a box and be done. But that personalized service that you have, you know, there's only so much that you can do with that. And I think if you're going on and you just need a one-off type of thing, and it's not a brand situation, and it's not something that you don't need that personal touch, then you ought to go do that. The thing that I see is 5 years ago, we had this real push about emails and making sure, you know, a lot of school districts gave up the calendars, gave up the newsletters, they gave up everything, and we're going to email that to the parents, and we're doing this. Well, all of a sudden, the events weren't being attended. All of a sudden, there was all kinds of things taking place that emails, let's face it, I mean, how many, you know, we probably get 100 to 200 emails a day, and half of them is truly not something we're interested in.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. And so what we've seen over the last year to 2 years is some of the things that were taken away from the print side is actually coming back now. And it, what I see is it's a mixture. You know, it, some things are made to be digitally, electronically sent in communications, and some still need to be tangible.
Yep.
And so and I think it's going to continue like that, because even the millennials are, you know, there are a lot of studies being done that the millennials want to still touch something. I mean, they've grew up on those cell phones and they grew up on the online, but they still want to be able to touch something that they're buying.
Well, I know when I go somewhere, for example, I don't see an email sticking on one of these shelves. If I go somewhere and I don't know what's going on in that area,
right,
I want to see a pamphlet. I want to see a brochure. I want to see pictures. I want to see, where can I call to get tickets? Well, you know, those kind of things, they're all very important out there to us. And I think you said it well, that, you know, having something in your hand there you can look at and say, hey, I'm going on vacation up in Maine in a few weeks, and I know by the time I walk in the first night into our hotel room, I will have a handful of them like this. And that's exactly the kind of thing you guys get into. But I, you know, I also noticed that in my mailbox anymore, I don't get much mail.
Yeah.
Most of my mail comes via email. And again, you're kind of taking a chance with me, because I'm going to look at it and say, oh, that guy or that company or whatever, and they get knocked out. And whereas if they sent me a brochure or they sent me some kind of promotional stuff, which I also do get, I tend to spend more time on that than I do on the email.
Yeah. There's a lot of studies being done right now, but still direct mail is still the number one response in communications. And it's one of those things that I believe even for the future we're going to see this, because, you know, there was a lot of – they've tried to knock it down and they can't,
right,
you know? So I feel very, you know, very positive about where we're headed with direct mail and the printing industry in general. Give you an example, last April, coming out of April, I mean, that was one of our strongest months that we had in 2-3 years now, you know? So that is what's encouraging to me. And I, you know, at the bottom line is you want to make sure that customer is successful on whatever they're doing with communications. So I just kind of look at it and I think to myself, you know, I'm a true print guy. Deep down inside, that's who I am. But I also understand that I need it to change along the way. And today, I think it's one of those things that you just got to you gotta offer the communications that's going to be successful for that client.
You started out as Caskey Printing. You went to Caskey Group Communications, obviously showing it's more than just printing now. It's a whole lot of other things in the area of integrated communications, creative services, signage, printing solutions, mailing and fulfillment, promotions. We've talked about some of those this morning. I want to talk with you a little bit more, though, about these webinars coming up in June and July. How can businesses get involved in that? What do they need to do to attend those kind of things?
Right. Well, you can register at webinar.caskeygroup.com. So you could register, you know, right away.
Webinar.caskeygroup.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's CaskeyGroup.
Right.
You know, what we try to do is pretty much we offer these types of seminars. Usually we try to do it once a year. And so we'll have an open house. We'll have people come in to see the shop. I mean, last year we had a summer events that you could come in and you can learn about different segments of communication.
Very neat.
So
yeah,
they worked really well for us. The webinars are very short. Like I said, they're 1 hour long. What we're going to do is show three different types of storefronts and what it allows you to do. And really what it's made for is to just think about your business. Think about, you know, what are your strengths? What are your challenges? Every business has them. And being able to think about, okay, you know, how many different types of communications do I have? You know, give you an example. I have a hospital in D.C. right now that GW Hospital is who it is. They have 1,600 items that they have to order. So you go and you think about all those departments and you think about all those different pieces. You know,
right,
you go in a hospital and you know.
A little sign on the door somewhere, yeah.
Right. And all the forms and all the things that you have, you know. That, when we made the MFA GWU storefront, took us 6 months to bring that to life, to go around every department and figure out what all the order,
right,
take and put it online. Today, they got a system that they can order 24/7. There's no longer myself going down and meeting with all these different people. They go to their storefront, they select their item, it's placed, we get 20 to 30 orders a day, and it's finished. At the end of the month, there's one invoice. So it's one of those things that's how you can streamline your inventory management and being able, and that's large. You know, most sites aren't like that, but that's the largest one we have. But to give you an example, you just think about any business and all the different types of things that are ordered. And you know, the purchasing agents order them and you know, whoever's involved in the ordering process. But the next thing you see is things get lost. You know, what did we order before? What did it look like? You know, you just walk in and you can just see. It's not because anybody doesn't want to be truly managed all the communications. It's just, that's just one segment or one part of what their job duties are. So I feel very strong about these storefronts because I think it's one of those things that, you know, how many times do you call someone, you call into a company, you get voicemail, you're yep. not able to talk to somebody, you send them an email, they didn't get back to you right away. You have complete control of your communications if you set these storefronts up.
So the storefront, so important here. And again, people can, you know, get online there at casketgroup.com and check that out because it's important. I think a lot of times if you have your business, and much as you've recognized your business was changing, I think a lot of people have to recognize in small business their business was changing. About 2 minutes left here, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
As a small business owner, as a small business controller right now, what have been the hardest things for you in small business, and what would you tell people out there in terms of advice who are small business owners, no matter what the particular subject is they're talking about or product or services that they're providing?
Right. I'd say the hardest challenges we have is just from the sales side, you know, of the continued growth that we need today. You know, if you want to have Heidelberg presses that are the best that are available, if you want to have EFI wide format presses that give you the best quality, then you have to have sales to back it up, you know. And it's one of those things. We had choices to take, just like any business has. I mean, and you have to decide where you want to be at. You know, do you want to continue to grow? Do you want to be a quality organization that's going to offer, you know, the superior communications?
Yeah.
And any business has this. You know, you have to decide who you want to be. And in our case, I didn't want to be the down and dirty printer. I wanted to be able to offer more communications, and I wanted to be able to offer, you know, those types of things. So from a small business side, I think it's one of those things. Businesses have to decide who they want to be. And if once you make your decision on that, you have to go after everything you possibly can to make sure you're successful.
Somebody once told me that if you want to do what everybody does, you'll pretty much be like everybody else. Sounds like you want to do things just a little bit differently and be unlike anybody else. Is that a fair statement?
That is fair. Yeah, that's right.
And finally, you know, how do you get your advertising done? You know, that's a big thing. You talked about having a group in Washington, D.C. Right now as part of one of the clients that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as far as how we advertise, 60% of what we actually involved with the partnerships we have are outside the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. Today.
So it's one of those things. Baltimore and Washington's kind of been a hotbed for us, you know, and a lot of referrals going on and a lot of, you know, look at the acquisitions and the mergers taking place. And from the healthcare side, that's been, you know, you can be on the right side of the fence, or you can be on the wrong side of the fence, you know. So it's one of those things that that's been, you know, one of those things, reaching out and going into different areas and different communities and trying to find our niches. And, you know, in our case, you know, the healthcare side, the education side, and the nonprofit side has been really good for us.
How can people reach you at Caskey Group?
Yeah, you can reach us at my personal email is trife@caskeygroup.com. Email is probably the best way, but if you want to contact us by phone, it's 764-4500, and my extension is 103.
And, of course, don't forget those webinars coming up,
right? That's right. Yep, both webinars are taking place. One's in June and one's in July. And the dates on them are Wednesday, June 28th at 11 o'clock, And the July one is Wednesday, July 12th at 3 p.m.
Do people have to get reservations on that ahead of time?
No, you can just sign up online, and you can just come on in, and we'll know you there.
Tony, it's been great talking to you about your business this morning. Continued good luck with Caskey Group. And again, check them out at caskeygroup.com and find out all about what they can do for you and your business. But certainly one of the great small business success stories here this morning with Tony Reif and Caskey Group. Tony, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
This has been Small Business Sunday. Every Sunday morning at 8:30, your host Gary Sutton talks with local entrepreneurs who share their stories of success.
This program has been paid for by Caskey Group.